a prayer. Lord, please make my words relevant and of inspiration to others. Amen.
Amen. Peace.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning,
morning everybody.
Morning.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. I think the last time one of our church wardens were involved in taking a service was when our dear friend Roger Barnes took us through the works of John Wesley. I hope people can remember that. Although sadly missed, we have reminders all around the church of the things which he and others introduced into the church building. And those will be with us for many, many years to come. If you think about the evolution of this church, from the earliest times when it was just a simple building, it's been transformed over the years to adapt to modern use. Chris Putt and her team rehanging the bells, the installation of pews, pulpit and choir stalls, the French drains to drain away the water from around the building, the tower and the vestry project, and recently the wilding of the churchyard. All of these would not have been completed without a desire to do something and working with one mind and purpose. So, to the second reading, which should have been the first reading, and I'm sorry if that confused everybody, but I'm a husband, so that's my job, really. I want to read this reading from Philippians in church as if we were in Philippi. I'd like you to imagine that we're there. It's sunny, very warm, that'd be nice today. And we're sitting together outside in a terrace under pergolas dripping with ripening grapes. We've just received a letter from our mentor, Paul, and we're excited to hear what he has to say, as we haven't seen him for some time. As I read it aloud, as these letters were written to be read, I'm going to read it in our own modern translation. So please, as I read it, think about what Paul is asking of us. So, we have a second letter from our dear brother Paul. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Dear friends, Paul carries on. You always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've always been interested in the life of St. Paul, a complex and driven man whose influence in spreading the good news to us mere Gentiles has been staggeringly successful. However, particularly in his own letters to new churches, his words remain open to interpretation and are analysed repeatedly to gain insight into Paul's character. I think his message has always been simple. Now, about 23 years ago, my wife reminds me, God gave me and others the power and desire to do something which pleases him. Our children attended the primary school here, and as a family, we became involved in after-school clubs and the Parents Association activities, which helped us to take the tentative steps towards making new friends, with our common interest being involved with the children. In the school hall one day, we had a crazy, God-inspired idea. We decided we would produce a pantomime in the February half term to raise funds and use the school hall in which to present it. Those of you who have ventured into the school hall will know that it doesn't easily lend itself to having a stage or any lighting. We had to build everything from scratch. The project, however, brought everyone together. Children, budding actors and actresses, musicians, carpenters, artists, metal workers, and many of those people came from St. Bartholomew's. The panto ran for 4 performances over 3 days and was a great success. Over the following 4 years, we produced bigger and better pantomimes. There were so many seen and unseen benefits from this project. The children gained confidence, whether singing or acting in front of the audience. The cast and crew had a purpose to achieve things together. Lifelong friendships were made. There was a pride in everything we did, and a measure of success was in the money we made for the school by selling tickets throughout the village. God gave us the desire and power to work together with one mind and purpose to do what pleases him. And with that power, who knows what can be achieved in his name, whether it be panto, warm welcome, singing, bell ringing, flower arranging, making coffee on a Sunday, anything to his glory. One person from the panto stands out for both Jane and me. He taught Jane how to become a better pantomime dame. He demonstrated to her in both hilarious voices and a very camp manner. And sitting stoically in the wings, throughout every performance, studiously following the script and prompting those of us who forgot our lines, was Alan Bushnell, who became our dear friend. Thank you, Alan. May you rest in peace and rise in glory. Amen.